Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Back in Studio A with my guest this morning. As I mentioned, we're getting our regular update from Bloomfield Schools. Superintendent of Bloomfield Schools, Dr. Kimberly Mizell, is joining me this morning from her offices in Bloomfield. And I think we can see her and hear her this morning. There she is. Dr. Mizell, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning. And lots to talk about as we were discussing before we came on the air this morning. There's a lot of things that are happening. Let's start with congrats to the Bobcat football team, who went almost all the way this football season. Boy, a really great season for a while, right?
Yes, they had a good season, and they fought real hard in Portales. They just ran into a pretty competitive team, sized up about the same, and we came out on bottom. So, but they did well. The boys played with all their heart, and we're very proud of them.
Right, very true. And am I remembering correctly, they were undefeated until that point in the season?
Yes, that's correct.
How about that? So that's not too shabby either.
No, they really are something to watch, and the whole community is behind them and supporting them, and now we're moving on to basketball and wrestling. So
that's true. That season continues with sports, of course, and athletics, and but a lot of those players will be back next year, do you think? Is that true? On the football team?
Quite a few of them. Okay. Yes, we didn't lose too many. We had a few seniors, but most of them are younger players, so that's good for next year.
Very good. Well, congrats for the season that they had, and we wish they could have gone all the way, but I think they still have a pretty good season to be proud of for the coaching staff and the players and the families who supported them all season long.
Yeah, it's just really a grueling schedule, you know, get to that point that they got to even. So, I never played football, so I don't know, but I think it would be very difficult physically.
I think you're right. Well, and traveling to Portales is not a short trip either.
No, I was down there. My daughter goes to school at Eastern, so we're down there cheering them on.
There you go. Well, good luck to the Bobcats for next season as well. But again, congrats for the season that they had this year. I also wanted to ask you a little bit about some report cards for Bloomfield School. Some results are back from the state. They've been looking at school districts throughout New Mexico. What have you been learning about the results that the state is sharing with you?
Well, we have a lot to celebrate with everything that has happened and the pandemic and everything. Bloomfield Schools, all of them are in the traditional zone, which we're not in corrective action. We don't need additional assistance. That means we're doing okay. Obviously, we still have a lot of work to do to get our numbers up there, but according to the state's rubric and scoring system, Bloomfield is doing fine. The only one that had a little suggestion basically was Charlie White Brown, which is our alternative high school. It says more rigorous graduation, but Charlie White Brown is at like 74% graduation rate for an alternative high school, which is very good. If you look at other alternative high schools, we're really high. And so I think that they probably need to rethink those alternative high school scoring systems, because they score them just like a regular high school, which they are not. So other than that, we're doing good, and we have a lot to celebrate in Bloomfield, so we're excited about that.
Congratulations. And so this is data that the state has kind of compiled from some of the assessments, I would imagine, and things like that, to kind of gauge how your students are doing in all subject areas, or most subject areas?
Yes, and they look at growth over time, and it's It's a new testing scenario. So we've only taken this test twice now. And so we're obviously trying to calibrate what we're doing in the classrooms to make sure the kids know the information that they need to know by grade level. And so that's a process. Every time they change the assessment, we're always kind of working on calibrating. So we're just happy that we ended up where we did. And I know the teachers and the principals, all of them are working so hard to try to support the students and make sure that we are performing as well as we possibly can. So.
Right. And unless I'm mistaken, we haven't really talked about this recently. I don't think they were doing this type of assessments during the pandemic. Is that why this data is so important and so meaningful to you and your staff and teachers at Bloomfield Schools? Because this is the first kind of data that we've seen coming out of the pandemic?
So the first round, they compared us to pre-pandemic
I see.
scores. And at that point, we were at the threshold of really a pinnacle point in Bloomfield where we hadn't performed as well as we had in the past. And then we had the pandemic. So then we were, obviously everyone was trying to figure out how to best serve the students and get the instruction to them. So the first round, we were really disappointed with the scores, but it's like not a fair comparison because it was a totally different test when we took it in 21.
Right.
We took it in 22, and they were comparing those two tests. So now we have the new comparison to the same test, and we're doing well. So we're happy about that.
Sure. A little more apples to apples, it sounds like to me.
Exactly. We have never stopped monitoring our kids though. So we never stopped our own internal teach and assess process. So we have a good gauge. We have a good way of monitoring things. And so it just didn't make sense with what we were seeing with our own internal system. So this makes sense. So we're really pleased.
And with the numbers or the results that what you're were sharing with us this morning, saying that you are kind of in the where you want to be or things to celebrate, is there other things that the state is going to be offering to Bloomfield schools to maybe help you do even better? Or are you in a place where the district will be able to do its own type of thing to increase some of the student achievements and things like that moving forward?
The state is always looking for opportunities. So, with the first cycle assessment, we did get additional funding for a central primary. So, we're utilizing those funds to hire people, do more interventions with kids. So, we're in the second year of that. So, they do provide additional support, and they're looking at that. So, I think what the state's doing with a program called the Letters Training, where we're getting every single teacher through fourth grade trained in teaching reading, is paying off. So there's some things that the state is requiring that has really is really driving some of the data that's happening in Bloomfield because we've been very conscientious. We started Letters Training before it was something mandated, so we were a little bit ahead of the game. And so the teachers have good, sound instructional strategies. They know how to teach reading. And you would think coming out of college, you would know that, but you really don't get the detailed, specific training, which is a balanced approach to instruction in reading in college. You get surface learning and you get an idea, but once you're in the trenches and working, the letters program is very rigorous and difficult for teachers to take. But it's paying off for the kids, so it's worth it. And
Right.
it's a good program.
Got you. And of course, I think I know that every educator is always trying to learn more about how kids are doing coming out of the pandemic now with a couple of years under our belt and things like that. So is this data helping you to maybe better understand how your students are faring and how they're doing moving forward to post-pandemic?
Yes, and that's intensive monitoring is what we do in Bloomfield. So every 7 weeks, we teach for 7 weeks, we assess, and then we reteach for 2 weeks. what the kids didn't master or understand in the first 7 weeks of every quarter. And so it's intensive process, it's a hard work, and the teachers are having to constantly analyze student work to see where they're making mistakes in math and in reading, and we try to correct those misconceptions sometimes, and so it is helping us, and the state assessment doesn't really give us a lot of instructional information. It just tells us that we're doing okay. Hopefully it will turn to something that's a little more informative, but for right now it's just a baseline information for the state. They have to do this assessment because we receive a lot of federal dollars in the state of New Mexico, and the federal government makes us do this too.
I see.
So
Got you. And of course,
part of the accountability.
right. And this data, of course, is coming not just to Bloomfield schools, but every school district in the state, right? And then you can, I guess, compare how your students are doing compared to others in the state and in the county and things like that as well.
Yes. So we can look at schools with similar demographics and look at how they're faring. We try to look like with equal scenarios, so apples to apples in what districts we would look at. For example, Bloomfield's very similar to Bernalillo, so that's one that I always look at, just to kind of see how we're comparing to them. That's very similar in size, the demographics, information. We're always looking at our Native American population, our Hispanic population. We're looking at all that information to make sure that we're meeting the needs of all the kids. And special education as well. So, right now we're holding our own and we're doing okay.
Got it. Got it. Anything that surprised you, Dr. Mizell, from these statistics and from this report that was shared with you?
Yeah, the alternative high school thing surprised me
That one.
because I know we're really high and we're performing well. And so I want to have a conversation with the secretary about that because Secretary of Education. Because I think it's misleading.
Gotcha. And for parents and guardians of your students who are looking at this or listening to us this morning, I mean, what's the message to them? I mean, it sounds like they can be pleased to know that their kids are performing well at Bloomfield Schools.
They're doing okay. Now, well would be
Oh, pardon me.
85th percentile,
Okay.
really rocking and rolling. We're not there yet, but a proficiency rate is what we look at. And so we're always working on increasing our proficiency rate. Now, this is baseline data, remember, so we have to go up from here. It's not like it's a sedimentary situation. So we're always pushing the kids, always working with them to address their needs, and they can know that Bloomfield is doing their very best to serve their children.
And still a role for parents and guardians to play in their child's education, I would think.
Yes, absolutely need to be involved and read to have their children read every night and work on math skills. And we do teach different methods of problem solving because out in the world, kids have to be really good problem solvers and solution people. Just with the world and how fast it's moving with technology, but the old school methods won't hurt them. I
Right.
think parents get nervous about that they don't know what we're trying to teach them, but you can teach your child. They can adapt. You can teach them how you did it. Like for example, my son was learning the lattice method of math, and I said, "Let's challenge you. I'm going to do my old-fashioned division problem." And you do the lattice method, and let's see who finishes first. And it was a real convincing story for him to learn the old-fashioned method because he was doing the lattice. And it's just a different way of solving a problem.
Right.
But the old school methods are not bad either. So I
And by
encourage parents to show them, say, this is how we learned it. May not be the way you're learning it, but and if they have questions, always ask the teacher.
Sure. And by learning a different way of doing it and finding the same answer, like you did when you were in school, perhaps, did that help him maybe understand the concepts a bit better?
Yeah, it helps with number sense. We're seeing that our kids really don't have a sense of numbers, and the how to solve a problem, work a problem, different solutions. And so we're having those conversations with them and showing them that not everybody thinks of it the same way. That's why we have these brilliant mathematicians and scientists that they don't think in a traditional way. They think very differently. And thank goodness for people that think like that. So we don't want to limit them to just one method of solving it, because they, if they're that potential to be able to do a lot of problem solving in different ways, if we show them alternatives. So it's just, it helps them, and they have better sense of how to work with the numbers. We have a very strong program out at Blanco, and that principal just got recognized for New Mexico Hero. And there's a Linda Spencer is the principal, and she's been the driving force behind that program. And so we're very proud of that work, and we're getting it to the other schools as well, some of the strategies and techniques. So
right.
It's a good thing.
Very good. Well, congratulations, and to her on your staff as well. We also want to talk a little bit about, of course, I think give thanks to your voters for passing the mill levy and in the election earlier this month. That will provide a lot of things for Bloomfield Schools.
Yes, and I just can't tell them how much I appreciate them. That money is so needed for equipment, HVAC systems, replenishing our fleet vehicles. We've been working on it, but you always have old stuff that you need, newer material, new stuff, new equipment. And so it just helps in that area. That's what we're going to spend it on, to improve our ventilation system and everything that we need to do to keep the schools healthy and safe. You know, the air that the kids are breathing, air quality, you know, it also will pay for a refrigerator unit that goes out, because we have aging equipment. For example, a refrigerator for the kitchen is $850,000. I mean, everything is ridiculously priced. And every time I turn around, I'm spending $1 million on some repair, a roof.
Right.
When you have aging buildings, aging equipment, that money is crucial to a district. So we really appreciate their support.
Right, indeed. And again, I just have to point out, if you hadn't gotten that support, that money would have to come from somewhere else in the budget, I guess, at the expense of something else. I guess it could be staff, it could be programs, but this way it's a separate bucket of money that can be used just for these purposes.
Exactly. Yes.
Wonderful. Well, again, congratulations and thanks to the voters of Bloomfield. And finally, Dr. Mizell, before we run out of time this morning, I wanted to get an update from you on your resource center for the community. Yes. We've talked about it off and on here over the last few visits that we've had together, but things are moving forward, and I think it sounds like you're getting ready to cut a ribbon.
Right. It's in the final stages. We're putting in the flooring and finishing up some of the final touches that you have to do with the construction project, and we hope to have a grand opening mid-January. We have to move everything back in over the holidays, so it's going to be a process, but it is there for our community and for people of need, or if they need support, they can come in. We'll have a computer area. We have a washer, dryer. We have showers and a restroom facility. We have clothing that many businesses give us, some of their stuff that they didn't sell, or, you know, sometimes it's really nice things. And then we do clothing drives for community members. We had, at the first of school, we had 1,000 people come to our resource center to get school clothes and basic essentials for their children. And it's free. And
right.
So, and then we have a food storage. If there's, you know, if they need food, we have basic non-perishable items. So it's for the community of Bloomfield, and we're very proud of this project. It's a product of the federal dollars that happened during the pandemic, because the needs were so great in our community, and the level of poverty that is occurring is very concerning, especially for kids, you know. And so we're real excited to open it, and we have a family liaison. We have staff members that actually outreach system that we go to homes of people that are struggling to support them better with their children and what they need. And we apply for homeless funding through the federal government. We've gotten more and more each year. So we're able to support better. And, you know, schools are the heartbeat of a community, and we take that very seriously in Bloomfield. And so we're just real proud of this project. So it's exciting.
Congratulations. And remind us again the location of where the Resource Center will be located.
It's on the back side of Mesa Alta Junior High. It's the old shop building. So mm-hmm. people that have lived in Bloomfield know the old shop building. We've converted it to a resource center.
Very good. And this, I think, is really important, too, for folks on the eastern side of San Juan County to be able to access things like you describe for their children, for their families and things like that, without having to maybe come all the way to Farmington or somewhere else in the county. I mean, this is a really important location, I think, for folks on that side of the county.
Yes. And it's getting recognized and it's being used. And it has been a beautiful thing, really. Just what we've been able to do to help families. So.
Right. Has the, and I know it hasn't been open yet really officially, but I know you've been doing some events and things like that, as you mentioned, with the clothing available for the first days of school and things like that. Have you been surprised by, I guess, the number of community members who have come out to take advantage of what you're offering and reached out to the district?
We were very surprised and a little bit overwhelmed.
Right.
With the turnout. We didn't anticipate that it was going to be as big as it was. And so we have a plan for next year where we'll have like a better flow of traffic, better flow of people coming in. Just we do want it to be accessible to everyone. But it was overwhelming. And we're, you know, the stories that came out of it, the staff members, I think they cried several times because like, a little sixth grade boy, he came in and he wanted a haircut. We gave away 100 haircuts. The barbers in the community donated their, we paid them half fraction of what they normally charge for haircuts. And we, 100 of kids got haircuts that day. And, but he wasn't on the list. He didn't get in time. And, but he went to the bins where he got some underwear and some socks, some basic things. And he was by himself. You know,
wow.
He's kids. We're seeing kids coming, not their parents.
On their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And maybe their mom and dad, maybe they're working, you know, and their parents said, can you go and try to get some stuff? But, you know, a young man in need, those kind of stories hit you in the heart, you know, and so just little stories like that. And there were a lot of them that day.
Yeah,
that we know we're making a difference. So it's very moving.
Very good. Well, there's a lot of stories like that, I know. And I know there's a lot of folks that are appreciative of the district for taking the lead on this resource center. Again, the first of its kind, I think, in the Bloomfield area. And you'll be opening it for everyone in January, it sounds like, right?
Yes, we'll have a grand opening and people can come in and we'll invite families and we'll have the school board there. It's going to be neat.
And lots of different elements. I mean, I don't think we've really touched on all the different things it's able to do, right? You've really tried to combine almost like a one-stop shop of resources and things that folks can maybe take advantage of in that one location.
Right. You know, technology is a whole nother monster that families may not have the ability to maneuver within the systems, you know, even for the school system, registering their children, filling out all those forms electronically. So there's going to be people that can support that if they need help. And if they, like, for example, if they need to submit their child's physical for athletics, you know, we encourage extracurricular activities, but they don't know how to scan and get it in the computer and send it to the athletic department. We can support that kind of stuff. And then if they need access with government agencies, we have an outreach program for that. For example, Child Haven came over and had a booth that day. And so we're trying to connect them with support systems to help themselves. You know, if you don't know it's out there and it's available and you're suffering, that's sad. So we're trying to get that information out there and help these individuals and their families. So.
Right. Very good. Well, again, congratulations to you and the Bloomfield School District for putting this all together. And we look forward to the big grand opening for the fully functional resource center in January.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'll touch base with you next time and tell you how it went.
That sounds great. And before we go, I always have to ask you about perfect attendance or the GPA contest at Bloomfield Schools, right? For your car giveaway at the end of the school year. That's still going strong.
Yes, I don't have hard information at this point because our grading system happens in January. We're finalizing at the high schools in January. So I'll have a better idea of how many students have a 3.5 or higher GPA. And then we did do one car for perfect attendance this year. So I'll have a better sense of that in January.
All
So
right. Well, we'll catch up with you
the two
then.
cars.
That sounds great, Dr. Mizell. We'll catch up with you then. This is our final visit of 2023, though, because we'll be all be on break when we're supposed to
That's
talk
right.
in December. So have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you and your family and everyone at Bloomfield Schools, and we'll catch up in January.
You too, and it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you for everything you do.
Thank you for your time, as always, Dr. Mizell. Appreciate it.
Okay, you have a good day.
You too. Thank you so much. That's Dr. Kim Mizell. She is the superintendent of schools, of course, with the Bloomfield School District. My guest this morning, right here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.